Well, this morning I want to speak to you on a subject called overseen by God. He is our overseer. He's our in control guy. And the confidence in that, you're moving out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to move across then, get more central to this. So yeah, we're going to be talking about overseen by God. And what does that look like? What does it mean for us as individuals, corporately as well as the body of Christ, worldwide, that we get to tune in and stream with what God is doing, what God's up to in this season that we're in. So I want to start this morning, and let's take our Bibles and go to Psalm 121.
What are you on, Father's
eye? So Psalm 121, those of you that want to follow us on stream, we're actually on Father's House Facebook page at the present, if you're looking for it.
Or mine.
So take it and share it out with others. And I really get a sense that God's wanting to do something special today. He's wanting to highlight something of a good news for people. So I want to bless you this morning. So let's, Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? So he's actually saying his help comes from the mountains. He's looking up towards God to say, come on, God, I know you are the provider. I know you have a plan, even though I don't quite see it, but I know you're going and you're doing something behind the scenes that's going to bless me. And my help comes from the Lord, verse 2, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Come on, folks, this is biblical, solid truth that you can rely on even in your darkest times. He keeps you. He who keeps you will not slumber. So not only is he keeping your foot from slipping, but he's not asleep. He's not resting. He's actually consciously focused on us and doing good behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right, shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. You know, so that's why I want to take the subject title this morning of overseen by God. He is the overseer, the one that we look to, the one that we can take refuge in, the one that we know that on our behalf, he does not stop working. He does not go to sleep. You know, we need sleep. Well, some of us can do a lot less than others. But personally, I love a good sleep because it gives your whole mind, your body, your physical, just to regain and to actually get re-energized for the start of the next day. And so you get up in the morning and you begin to feel that freshness and that vibrancy after having a rest. And you're most alert. You're actually, well, some of you are most alert. Some of you are actually still walking around with your eyes hanging in your heads. But generally speaking, it's the freshest part of the day. You can achieve so much more. You can get things done at that time of the day that you would struggle to do later in the day. So God is the overseer of your life. He is your protector. He's the one that tells you that he does not slumber, nor does he sleep. Because he is consciously involved in working out his plans and his purposes for all of us. Amen? You know, so Moses, I want to take a quick look at Moses. I'm going to take a look at a couple of the biblical characters this morning that actually we can see so much of us in them, and we can actually learn so much from how the scripture describes what took place in their lives. Look at Moses. Moses was, he entered into the courts of Pharaoh through a Moses basket that his mother now got into the Nile and was found by Pharaoh's daughter. This was a child, Moses was a child like many of the other that was due for slaughter in the kingdom of Pharaoh. But yet this mom purposed to get him found and went into the rushes, had him found. And from there, he was transferred into a kingdom that was not his kingdom, into a land that was not his land. And so he grew up in the courts of Pharaoh. And like a son, he was trained and he actually learned the ways of the kingdom and how to actually get ready. He was prepared like a kingly son would be, to be prepared to take on the rulership of the nation. You know, and then other things happen with Moses throughout his life, and he ends up running off and going into a foreign land. And, you know, for 40 years, he's kept and held back. And it's like all of Egypt's no longer around him. And then the burning bush, and he hears God speak through the bush. And that fiery word that came to him said, I'm calling you, and I want you to go back and tell Pharaoh to set my people free. You know, so God's hand was on Moses, because not only was he able to go back and stand before Pharaoh, but he actually was trained and already equipped from his younger days in preparation, because God knew that some point and at some day, Moses would be called upon to lead a nation. The oversight of God leaves nothing to chance. Mm-hmm. It's all there. So Moses is one particular character. And, you know, God can hide in the world systems the answers for his people ahead of time, because he knows all things. Mm-hmm. So when you look at Moses, he could have very easily been one of the children that was slaughtered, but yet God hid him. And where did he hide him? Right in the very place where he could carry most influence later, when God called him back to actually set the people of Israel free. So God has a plan and a purpose for you as well. Look at Abraham and Sarai. You know, this is an amazing couple. God says, you're going to multiply. Your children, your offspring are going to be like the stars in the sky, and you're going to go to another nation and dwell there. And so Abraham sets out, not knowing where he was going, the Bible says, but he went. Because he knew there was nothing left for him, except he had to go. You know, what was there was no longer going to satisfy him or his family. But because God had spoken, he heard it, he acted on it, and he left his land and went and created elsewhere. So Sarai, even down to the fact of their name changes to become Abraham and then Sarah later, and then the fact that God kept them right through to in their 90s when Sarah gets pregnant and gives birth to a child. I mean, that's pretty ridiculous when we look at it in our day that could actually take place. But yet God had a plan and a purpose. And then he gets, Abraham gets the son, thinks, well, this is the start of the multitudes coming in, almost like sets up, well, I've made it, God. And so God has to take him on a journey to show him that no. So he challenges him to put his son to death on the altar. And then when he's up there and he's about to take his life, God changes it. And basically, I think Abraham learned the lesson then that it's not so much about Isaac, his son, but it's about the generational thing. It's about the worldview or the overview that God had and had spoken into his life, that there was much more than Isaac, because the generations that were going to come were also part of the big picture. So his world got rocked a little bit there. And so in Psalm 119 and verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, when you look at that, you know, a lamp to your feet, that lights up what's directly at your feet. A light to your path is actually shining on something that you could see where you're moving towards. You know, so there's a difference between the two. I remember years ago we were sitting and we were feeling the Lord moving on us to make a move in ministry terms. And we sat down on a Sunday morning and we whacked on George Stanley, who was a minister online at that time. And he spoke a message from God that just resonated with our spirit, our heart, and spoke right into where we were at. Because we were about to make a move, and a bit like Abraham, weren't sure what it was going to be, how it was going to work out, but we had this sense that God was saying move. And so he spoke a message and he said, you know, sometimes when God calls you to move, all you can see is the stone step in front of you. And your faith has to step onto that stone before you see the next step. And he says it's one by one, movement by movement. And he says sometimes we'll get one step and then God will put another step here and you've got to change direction to that step. But all the time, God is overseeing you and your life and is instructing you to get you to where he needs you to be so that you can be fulfilled in his kingdom. You know, so we walked that walk and we ended up coming back here to England, not really knowing what we were about to do, but we'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. So James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You get to see this whole overseeing picture. Is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Who lights your pathway? Who lights up your feet? God, the Father of lights. It's him that lights up the direction way that he wants you to go. And whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You know, so there's a solidness that comes in that when you realize the depth of that last statement there, that there is no variation in God. Mm-hmm. He has already got a plan and a purpose way before we were ever born or created, and he wants to see that fulfilled. And so a lot of times in life, you find yourself on a journey that you don't really know where you're going. And sometimes I think when we get to the other side of the journey, we can look back and see how God orchestrated and tweaked us, moved us, nudged us, and got us from A to B in his plan and his purposes. And even sometimes we go off track and off kilter, but yet God has a way of bringing you back and using that time to actually strengthen us and to lead us out of those situations because we've learned wisdom and we've learned character traits as well in the midst of that. James chapter 1 and verse 2. James is quite a hard-hitting, like he don't pull no punches as James, but it's a great book. And James chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Oh, come on. I'll put my hand up. There's a lot of times when we fall into trials, I don't feel that joy. I don't feel that happiness. It takes a bit of a shifting and a few words with God. But where are you, God? I can't see you. I can't find you. You know, and I feel isolated. I feel like the heavens are brass and I'm not getting through to you. So, you know, sometimes we're called to look at it with joy, but we're human. At the end of the day, we're human and God knows. And he doesn't mind if we get a little bit angry with him sometimes. Because out of that place, your heart gets revealed that you're actually, the fact you're getting angry with God is the fact that you're intentional on seeing him move. And it's part of the process of calling him out of our heart reaction to move in and around our lives. And verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Mm-hmm. It's a knowing. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not testing your character. It's very clearly saying testing your faith levels. It's your faith. God's actually pushing you and nudging you to take that leap, to take that step, to do the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Luke 18 speaks about. But you know what? God nudges us for his plans and purposes to be fulfilled. And he leads us and he guides us. So there's a knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So it's all talking about character, character actually honing, character of your life, bringing it together. Because God, like he says, if you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. Likewise, if he gave you something too big, too early in life, you wouldn't be able to deal with it and it could do you damage. So God, in his love, holds back, but he takes you on a journey of preparation to get you to where he needs you to be, where he knows that you can carry what he is handing over to you to actually do for him. So a journey that we're on. And verse 4, but let patience then have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So again, you see, the oversight of God is that he wants us to be lacking nothing on this journey, because he knows where we're going, even sometimes before we know where we're going. And that's how good a God he is. And verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives us all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So there's a key pointer to actually connect with God. And in times where you're struggling and you're not sure where you're going, realize that he's still in control. He hasn't changed. He's knowing, all-knowing, and he's actually calling you to say, try me, test me, ask me for wisdom, and I will actually give to you, because I do it liberally and I do it without reproach. Liberally is what? It's not stingy by any mean. It's actually extravagant. So like, there's a wealth of wisdom that all the Lord is asking us to do is stop, take note of him, like we did this morning, thank him for things in life, and then say, God, I need help. I need wisdom. You know, there's times when we've lost stuff in the house, and we've turned around and we've said, Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us to where that is. And you know, shortly after we find it, that is wisdom coming to us, because it's knowledge coming to us from the throne room to allow us to find that which we've lost. And God does that with us. He finds that which was lost and he chases it down. And verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Doubt is not a good place. It means you've got a foot in one camp, a foot in the other. So get rid of the doubt, believe your God, trust in him, and pursue him for the answers that you're looking for in the season when you sometimes feel like it's weighty, it's heavy, and you can't get through to him. But he's still there. He's still leading. He's still guiding, and he's walking you through. You know, somebody said the other day, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And I said, well, that's true. But you know, also there's a light in the middle of the tunnel when it's at its darkest, because God promises that he's a light to your feet and a lamp to your pathway. Amen. So God's involved with something bigger around your lives. You know, all that I'm doing in you right now is building you to contain what I am leading you into. Amen. I'll say that again. All that I'm doing in you right now is building you to contain what I'm leading you into. It's always got a plan. It has always got a purpose. He doesn't do anything that he hasn't thought through, planned, and put in place. That's why we speak about destiny in your life so much, because you cannot go through your life and not expect the God that you said yes to not to have a plan and a purpose for you in your life. We'll look at that a bit deeper in a minute. Listening to God and his thinking about us, not our own wisdom of life, but he teaches us and prepares us that life for the life through waiting out, walking out life. So the whole journey of life is part of his training, equipping, and getting us ready for what's coming. You know, so the other day I was listening to a little bit of Chris Philotten's story of how he ended up at Bethel. And he was in Weaverville, was the owner of 4 outlet stores for car parts and stuff, doing quite well. And the Lord speaks and go on this journey and you're going to be in Bethel. And his wife said, well, I'm not sure about that. So she goes to Morningstar and somebody gets up and prophesies over, I see you leaving the mountains and coming into the place called Bethel, meaning it in a scriptural place. But how correct was that? Because they were in the mountains up above Redding, California, and the Lord spoke so clearly to her, and she knew then, okay, Chris, this is okay. I'm going with you, because she would have been worried about losing her home, losing finances. So they had worked it out. This is how, listen to this. This is amazing. They had worked it out, or Chris had worked it out, that selling the business to a company, a big national company called AI, they would be able to walk away with $250,000 in their back pocket, come down to Bethel in Reading, and actually buy a house and live there, because He was coming down to take over the running of the ministry school. But Bill had told him that there wouldn't be any finances until we got the student population up to a certain level. So he thought, okay, God, I've got 250,000 in the bank. This is going to carry us until you bring in the students and we get finance coming in again. Great plan. So they arrive down in Reading and they start the school. Kathy stays up in Weaverville to actually sell the property and get the balls rolling in both ends. And so they're down in Reading. 2 days after they had done the deal with this large company, the large company went into liquidation and every penny was lost. Not just the 250,000, but they had to take on the debt of the failure because the money all got lost in the system of the big company. And they ended up in 1.8 million pounds worth of debt, almost like overnight. You think you've got problems? You try facing that one down. I'm bankrupt. So Chris said, I had to go into the Bill and the elders. And I said, look, I cannot be ministering before God in this school and be in such debt. I have to pull out, guys. I'm sorry. And Bill turns to him and says, would you stand with my faith? Do not rush. Let's give this 6 months. You know, going bankrupt tomorrow or going bankrupt in 6 months, there's no difference. Just wait. Let's see what God wants to do. And, you know, within a few weeks, over $950,000 worth of the debt had either been written off or somebody had gifted into it.
Wow.
That's the God that knew that he was on a journey and he was building character into Chris, even at that point, through what looked like the worst scenario you could ever end up in your life. He was building character into that guy because he knew what he was going to have to carry in the future for God. So anyway, within 2 years, all of that debt was completely gone. God spoke to Chris about writing a book, never written a book in his life. And, you know, and so he writes this book. It becomes a bestseller. And the money that comes in from the sales of those books, they'll wipe off everything. And Chris would tell you that the next 2 to 3 years after that 3 year period, where it seems so dark, he said, I have never had so much finance come into our family and blessing come in from God because I stayed and I heard Bill's words to me, don't back out, stay the course. Trust in my faith if you can't trust your own. And God came up and God turned the whole scenario along. Now, I want to get a bit personal here. Part of our story was that, don't worry, Sharon, I'm not going to divulge anything that's that's going to leave us bare. But in our journey, we ended up living back in Northern Ireland. We had taken the business back there. We thought we would go into almost retirement over there, bought our house outright, 2 acres of land. You know, life was rosy, life was good. And yet I'd always question, why, God, have you taken us back to Northern Ireland? Why did you lead us back there? You've blessed us with a beautiful home, you know, great garage. Business was starting to pick up over there. And I thought, okay, God, I can handle this. And well, we decided to take a trip with two friends from Northern Ireland, and we went over to Vineyard Church in Aylesbury, and there was a prophetic lady over from South Africa doing a Friday and an all-day Saturday. So we fly over, and I hear, this is the difference between listening and having your word scribed down and then reading it later. What I heard her prophesy over me was that God had us in the precipice of like a rock face, about to step off into the unknown, that he was about to bless us. He was about to actually bring business to us. He was about, and so having an electrical contract in business, I'm thinking, come on, whoop-de-doo. Finally, we may actually see a breakthrough and be able to make some money out of this business. So anyway, the word was very specific. And we returned home after that weekend, and within a week of returning back, I had been invited to go up to Kilkeera Power Station to meet with AMEC, the large electrical company with branches based all around the world, to talk to them about quoting for works going on in the power station. And they wanted to give me all the setup works of the cabins, the office staff and everything, and to maintain that for 4 years. And that was given to me straight away. I then got a phone call from an old friend, and they were offering me, they were doing a new WAGS hairstyle unit, you know, for the footballers' wives in Leeds. And he wanted me to price that up and come over and take that on, like within a month it would be starting. So I priced that. I won the contract, and then I was asked to go down to the Coca-Cola factory. I think it's down in Dungannon, if I remember right. But they were having electrical works done. I was in process of talking with them about the contracts coming in from that. I was then working with Murphy's, the English company, burying pipes under the ground. I was about to win a 7-year contract of maintenance with them. And within that prophetic word, my business just flipped on its head. I thought, oh God, this is happening so rapidly. I'm going to need 10 to 15 blokes within a couple of weeks. I'm going to need additional vans. I'm really going to have to ramp things up if I'm going to work in Northern Ireland, but yet be shop fitting in England. And so my mind was just swimming everywhere. And then within 2 weeks of that, every single contract went to the wall or was on delay. And I thought, okay, God, I really felt that God had dangled the carrot in front of me and then swiped it away, that he had pulled the rug out from beneath my feet, you know. And God used that because for the first time in my life, I was the guy that was up at 5 o'clock in the morning getting vans ready, packing, making sure all the guys had all the right equipment, tools, stuff they needed for the day. And, you know, I couldn't even get out of bed. I struggled to get up, go to someone's house or a factory unit, 8 o'clock in the morning. I'd be back home by 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, midday. Finished, done. Didn't want to see any more. And I just thought, that's it. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And it was like I'd been punched in the guts and I'd been wounded so bad I didn't see a way forward. I felt that light was there and the light was taken away. And, you know, but Sharon had that prophetic word typed up. And then we sat down one night and we read it. And it wasn't to do with business. It was to do with the stepping off of the cliff edge and trusting God for what was coming in the future. God had to take me to the point and then walk me into the reality of what he was up to around our lives at that season to get us from A to B and to plan us into the route that he had already forethought of, you know, because we wouldn't be here today doing what we're doing today if business had taken off. I would have been so busy. I'd have been planning. I'd have been earning finances. And the thought of actually working for God for a minimal wage, if you call it a wage, wouldn't even been on our thoughts. And so God had to rock my world of Andy McClelland Electrical Contracting away from the point where I got up every Monday morning and if I didn't go to work and I didn't find contracts, then I was unemployed. So God had to create a whole shift in my life to get me to realize that we were on a journey different from what I had really thought about or wanted even. So here we are, you know, a number of years later, and God has us in still a journey, and who knows where we're going to end up. But I know that the overseer has plans already in place for us in our lives. Now let's look at this a bit closer. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply, say it, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. So you don't have to worry. You don't need to be stuck in the rut. You just need to actually turn your focus and your gaze to Jesus. He is the supplier, and he takes it out of the hugest wealth that is stored up in heaven, and he brings treasures of heaven to you to actually walk you out. You know, who would have thought that a guy that owed 1.8 $1 million within a few months was actually clear of it, because God orchestrated it, because God needed to do that to keep Chris where he was. Amen? So let's take a wee look at Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1 and verse 4, said, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, the word of the Lord came to me saying, and verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. So here's Jeremiah, and God speaking to him, and he's telling him very clearly that I knew you before you were even born. I had you sanctified before you even birthed. You know, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. I had a plan for you. I had a purpose for you in your life. And of course, Jeremiah then has this thing, well, God, you know, I can't speak before man. God basically just must be frustrated and say, look, this is what I plan for you. You're now stepping in to fulfill the destiny that I have had over you, the dreams that I've had over you. You're stepping into it. Now wake up, because the task is at hand, and I'll fill your mouth with my words. So God is good. So coming into a close here. Take a look at Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 then, staying in the same book. So verse 11 of chapter 29, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all of your what? All of your heart. God's got you a point where you've got to bring your heart into operation. Sometimes us guys are not so good at doing that, but God has a perfect plan, and he knows us better than we know ourselves, and he can work upon our hearts to get us to a point where we are crying out to God, God, I need you like never before. I'm stuck in the mud. There's no way out. I can't see it. God, give me wisdom. God, give me a way out. God, deliver me from my enemies that want to crush me and take me out. And I think it's beautiful. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Do you realize that God spends time thinking about you? It's like he meditates about you, and out of that meditation forms a plan for your life that most of us, you know, we think we walk blindly through life. No, God is the overseer. You're overseen by a God that actually orchestrates, that provides you with light to light up your pathway and to get you where he needs you to be, because he has a plan and a purpose that will not just affect your life, but will affect the lives of all the people you come into contact with. When you rub shoulder with someone, when you actually stoop down on your knees in a Sainsbury's shopping store, when somebody's bag of groceries has burst and you get down on your knee, help put them back into a new bag for them and say, here you go, love. Do you know that that impact, by you doing that, may impact their future and actually simply stop them from becoming bitter or angry about life? Your interaction with people makes a difference. God's plan for you over your life means that you will succeed. You will make a difference in the lives of those you come into contact with. So bear that in mind when you're the next time in Sainsbury's or Tesco's and something like that happens. Step into destiny. Joseph. What a great example of Joseph. Joseph ends up in the pit. You know, his family, his brothers turn on him. He has to deal with rejection. He has to deal with, am I going to be killed? Am I ever going to get out of this pit? And then you know the up and down journey that he went through when he ended up in Egypt. And yet the purposes and plans of God, right from his youth, God had him in a run of life, leading him towards the state where he would be the number two guy in the whole of Egypt, and he would oversee all of the grains and all of the food stores, because other nations were going to have to come to Egypt for their provisions. And in the midst of that, God knew that a season would come when the children of Israel would need provision, and he orchestrates the life of his son Joseph to get him to Egypt and place him in a place of authority within the land so that Israel would not go without. God made provision through one man who you thought his life was a complete waste and thought, my life's over and I'm never even going to make it out of this pit. God changes, God comes through, and God moves us. Joshua in the walls of Jericho, one of his first battles, a twin wall city. I mean, they say that on the tops of these walls, you could ride chariots around because they were so wide and thick. And in between them, I'm not sure what the gap was, but when you battered down one wall, you would have to get through another wall before you would actually get to fight the people you were coming against. So this was no mean feat to take on a walled city and to see the walls come down. But yet God gave him strategy. God gave him plans. And it says that, you know, when he went out to look at it, it said that the captain of heaven's armies came, stood with him. And Joshua had to say, are you with us or are you for them? And he says, neither. I am for the Lord of the heavens, you know, the heavens armies, and said, are you with me? And so the angels basically telling Joshua that this has to happen for the future of Israel, and I'm here sent on assignment to make this happen. So Joshua was on an assignment with the Father that actually was for the safety of his people, those that he cares for and those that he cherishes. Look at the life of Saul. Saul, a murderous, high up qualified guy, but yet he thought he had the right to go around and kill all the Christians. That was his God-given, as far as he was aware, that was my appointment. I am the official that can do this, and I will not stop until I've wiped them out. You know, so in his mind, he was doing great, but yet God had plans for him. God encountered him on the road to Damascus, had an encounter, sent him to Ananias, got his sight restored, got him changed back onto a new path, and he became the guy that wrote 13 books in the New Testament that we still read today. God had a plan for what would have been considered a murderer, but yet God used him in his later life to fulfill the plans that God had for him. Amen. God can hide and place in the world systems the answers to the world systems and then bring it to light when he needs it to happen. So you may think you're just doing your life, you're just getting on and you're in a job doing accountancy, but you know what? God could actually take you from that place of accountancy and set you over some of the biggest companies in the UK actually as an accountant, because he needs you to be there. So Daniel, look at the thing with Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had won, he had battled Jerusalem, he had won them, but he chose to keep four of their princely sons for servants to be trained up in his ways for his kingdom. Little did he realize that actually by keeping a remnant alive and within his palace, that they would grow up and become mighty men that would actually instruct, and through fire and through the lions and everything else that went on around their life, they changed the heart of the king to begin to believe in the only one true God. You know, so God has his plans. He puts you places, and sometimes we don't see it until we're maybe looking back at it. But the impact that we have, right down from, you know, big things that can happen, right down to a simple act of kindness by lifting somebody's groceries up off the floor that have fallen out. You change an atmosphere. You change someone's life. You change their destiny. And you have that ability in you to go after what the Lord is, to seek first his kingdom, and then all these things will be added onto you. So like today's, I'm just encouraging you that you're overseen by a God of love. Mm-hmm. You are a child of his. He will not stop until he's got you out of where where you feel trapped. He is the one that will lift you out of the pit and put you on a throne. He is the one that will walk through you some of your darkest nights, some of your darkest nightmares, and yet God is there with you in the room. You know, you can rely on him far more than you can rely on yourself. Let's face it, you know, folks, if you rely on us and our ways, there's some scenarios in life you just can't figure your way out of. That's when God has the door open to your heart to come in and transform your thinking and to blow your mind because of how he turns up and he comes in and he makes everything go away. It may take a period of time. It could happen instantly. But you will look back at some of the things that you've walked through in life and you say, oh, my dears, I never realized how much God was around me, how he was around, surrounding me. And it, you know, it's that song, "This is how I fight my battles."
Yeah.
You can't fight a battle if you're not actually in one. So sometimes in life, God places us in battles to call out the strength of the warrior, or the warrioress, that's not even a word, the warrior princess in you ladies, that you begin to rise up into a place of, I know my God. And there's something that shifts in your spirit when your heart opens up to the Father and you've got this great wall in front of you and you don't know how on earth this is ever going to shift. But when the Lord challenges you, he challenges you with your faith. If it's possible for you to do it, then you don't really need God. But when you can't, when you've come to the end of you, then you need your Father to step in. You need your beloved to come and walk you out of the wilderness, leaning on his side. And that's where Jesus is today. That's where the Father is today. That's where the Holy Spirit is today, around you guys, saying, come to me, look at me, let me walk you out, let me show you and reveal to you my ways, because with me there is freedom. With me there is answers. When a man of God can be fed by ravens while he's at a brook where he had water, there is no reason why that can't happen today. When the Lord God Almighty fed Israel after they'd crossed the Red Sea and he provided quail for them and he provided the manna bread, he's done it once. I think he can do it again. But you've got to believe that this God we serve is so much bigger than our minds sometimes can take in, and begin to believe, trust in him, press into him, and come out the other side a victorious Christian, one that will take up the sword and fight, one that will take up your weapons of armor and stand at his side in the fight before he comes back to rule and reign over this world. His plan is not to abandon us. His plan is not to fail us. His plan is to equip us, train us, and get us from A to B. We will be there at Jerusalem when Jesus comes back to put his foot on the Mount of Olives. We talked about it in the 70s, folks. We are now in a generation that's so much closer now to him returning than we ever were before. And so you can see the things arising in the world, shifts and changes, and it's all pointing towards what God has set in place to fulfill his plan, that we will rule and reign for him in eternity over this world and with him in heaven, that you get to rule and reign over cities. There is a destiny. There is a plan. You're just working out your journey towards it, but he's giving you trials and putting you through testers now to produce in you faith, to produce in you belief in your God, because what's coming in the next eternal season will be greater than this, and we will rule and reign alongside him. We are seated already in heavenly places at the right hand side of the Father with Jesus. We're already there, but we're walking this life out first. You know, so what we do and the impact, the trail, the mark of the trail that we leave behind here, God looks at and will actually take us and use us in the future. So we want to be sons and daughters equipped, fully devoted, hearts wide open, saying, yes, God, I want all you've got. I want to follow your ways and no attempt of the enemy is taking me down. It's not stripping from me. It's not weighing me down to I think that I am up to my waist in mud and can't move. But my God is my rescuer. My God is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my strong tower. In him I will put my trust and none other. I won't trust me anymore because my ways will fail. But if I trust in the one who oversees my life, then there is hope. And he comes without fail. Because why? He loves us. He sent his son to die for us. He is not one that will abandon us or leave us forsaken. Scripture is so clear about that. He is the Lord God Almighty. And we give you thanks today, God, for your goodness, for your faithfulness. And what is coming, we get excited about because we're going to see the goodness of our God in this land and in the nations of the world. God has a plan. Amen. So, Father, we just bless everyone that's listening to this. Father, we just say, Lord, become the overseeing God. Let's shift our mindsets. Let's renew our minds and see you for who you are. Yeah. We get to walk in the ways of our God. That you say we are royalty, Lord. Let us realize that we are royalty. And that gives us like a ring on our finger and a robe that gets recognized and opens doors in this world into the kingdoms of man. And that we take in there your kingdom, Lord. We take in the light that you have given us. We take in the power of your spirit and we change lives around us. We call people to account and we call people into the kingdom of God because up until that point, they've never known you, Father. So, Lord, let us be the light. You light our pathway. Let us believe that we can walk forward step by step and follow you as our King. So we just say, anybody listening this morning that's dealing with fear, night terrors, lack of sleep, we just come against that today in Jesus' name and we rebuke it. We rebuke what's stealing your peace from your life and we say, Father of peace, come with your peace that you said the world can't offer because it's yours. And it changes and it shifts atmospheres. So come with your peace, Lord. Surround us with your love and equip us with feet that are shod with your peace, that we take every step that we take it in your name, and we change atmospheres, and we release you to be the life-changing force that changes lives and calls them into the relationship like what we've got with you, Father. So we say, Lord, let salvation flow in this next season, and let us be the light of the world, salt, ready to do what we need to do, Father, not having any fear, but totally seeing an opportunity that seems so wild, but yet because of faith in our God, we take on the impossible things and we see them through to fulfill the plans and the purposes that you have for us, O Lord. So we bless us all today in Jesus' name. Amen.